Let me ask you at the outset of this meeting, if you were to die tonight, are you ready? Are you prepared to meet God? You see, death is all around us tonight. Death is undeniable. Death is all around us in this world tonight, and death comes to each and every one of us. And death is one of God's means or instruments that he uses to prepare us to meet him. Think of the words of Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. That is the end of all men. All men will go to the house of mourning one day. Life will end for each and every one of us tonight. From the oldest to the youngest, all must die. And it's amazing how much we prepare for things in life, isn't it? We all prepare for something. We understand that preparation is essential for success in life. We all know that old saying, if you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. And that applies to every aspect of life, whether that is in your work, whether that is in the home as you the housewife, whatever it may be, whether that is the school, the children at school, we all need to prepare. We all need to put that effort in. We need to make preparation. Whatever we have to do, we make preparation for. We make preparation for upcoming events. We can think of many things that we make preparation for. We think of Christmas, and that'll be the next talk of things. Once the summer's over, all the talk is of Christmas. We make preparation for Christmas time. We make preparation for going on our holidays. We make preparation for participation in sports. We practice before we be involved in the games. We prepare for birthdays, for schools, for marriage, for retirement. We make preparation. On and on the list goes. We prepare for so many things in life, and they are essential. It's essential to prepare. But how sad tonight that so many or so few people prepare for eternity. Very few give thought to making preparation for death. Oh yes, they might have a life policy in place. They might have serious illness policies and all, and insurance policies. They might have their will made. They might have their estate divided out and all the rest. They make preparation in that regard. They might have made preparation with their undertaker. But they haven't made preparation of the most important person, and that is God. That is God. We prepare for so many things in this life, but have you prepared for the life hereafter? This evening I want to speak on man's meeting with God. Man's meeting with God. First thing I want you to notice from the passage we read together is the rebellion. The rebellion that has been exhibited here. Here in Amos chapter 4, God brings Israel to the point of taking into account this sobering and solemn expectation of being prepared to meet God. God reminds them of the physical judgments he has sent them to turn their hearts, and yet we see how they continue to rebel against him. Five times in verses 6, 8, 9, 10, and 11, God reminds them of their impenitent hearts, their rebellious hearts. And notice that phrase at the end of those particular verses. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Yet have you not returned unto me. My friend, I pray that you will not die, that you will not die of those words hanging over your head. Yet you have not returned unto me. Verse 6, you see the first warning he gave them here. He said, I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. God blessed them with his goodness to cause them to repent. But they did not repent. They did not return unto God. Therefore God sent them judgment of famine. Cleanness of teeth and want of bread speaks of famine. Not just here and there, but in all their cities. A nationwide famine. Yet even in their starvation, even in their hunger, They did not repent of their idolatry, nor did they cast off their idols. They did not leave off their sins, but they continued in them until they died in that condition of not being prepared to meet God. Verses 7 and 8, he said, "I also have withholden the rain from you. When there were yet 3 months to harvest, I have caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Here the Lord reminds them that he withheld the rain in the time of harvest. The Lord says, "You have greatly sinned against me and have not given you any rain. I held back the rain. I forbid the rain clouds to form above your cities." And we can see there, even as we think of King Ahab, we think of Elijah and how there was no rain in Israel for 3.5 years, and yet the people did not return unto God. And again, here the same thing is shown here. We've held the rain, yet they did not repent. In verse 8, they go from city to city looking for water. They're craving for water, but it would not satisfy, because by the time they got back to their own cities, they were thirsty again. God withdrew his blessing, and they were not better for it because they had not returned unto the Lord. He said in verse 9, "I've smitten you of blasting and mildew when your gardens, your vineyards, and your fig trees, and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet you've not returned unto me, saith the Lord." God inflicts them with great judgments of nature. Excessive heat and drought have caused the vegetation, the fruit to spoil, and what's left the worms have eaten up. And yet all these things did not cause them to return unto the Lord. You can see the hardness of heart here among these people. You can see the rebellion of these people. And you, dear friend, tonight, how many chances has God given you? How many times have you heard the gospel preached? How many times has God been gracious to you and asked you to return, to come to him, and again you reject? You're like these people, you might say, as we read these verses, you might say, "Well, those people are foolish. They were starving, they had no water. The worms were eating up all the food. Why would they not return unto God?" And yet tonight, in your sins, you're as rebellious as these people. He said in verse 10, "I've sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have a slain of the sword and have taken away your horses. I've made the stink of your camps to come up onto your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." He sends pestilence and the sword upon the land and slays the young men, and yet the stink of them rises up into their very nostrils, and yet people in the rebellion have not returned unto the Lord. Verse 11, he said, "I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." He said, "I have consumed and destroyed you, and give a warning as a firebrand plucked from the burning, and yet you've not returned unto me. You've rejected me, you've rebelled against me. I've brought all these things before you in my mercy, in my long suffering, in my long bearing with you. Yet it has not softened your heart, but rather you've hardened your heart more against me." He says, "I will therefore bring you one final judgment," which is his argument against them. "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." We think of Pharaoh and how Pharaoh, all the plagues in Egypt, one after another, after another, after another, the plagues got more severe. What did Pharaoh do? He hardened his heart and hardened his heart and hardened his heart. Oh, dear sinner, tonight, I pray you do not harden your heart against the gospel. Ere God's Spirit stops speaking of you. He said in Genesis 3, verse 6, "My Spirit shall not always strive of man." If you hear his speaking voice tonight, do not shut it out. Do not shut it out, for that is a dangerous thing to do. He says here, "All these other former judgments have I brought before you to break your hearts, but yet you've refused." And now he says, "One more terrible judgment will I bring unto you. Prepare to meet thy God." He says in verse 14, "For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, and that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. This is who they will be meeting. There is a meeting with God, dear sinner. You cannot avoid it. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. There will be a meeting with God. Are you prepared for it? Notice, secondly, the repentance that is exhorted. The repentance that is exhorted. My dear sinner friend, what does God have to do in your life to get your attention? What does he have to do to wake you up out of your deadness and your sleep? What does he have to do to bring you to bow the knee in humble submission before him and repent of your sin? You see, there's no difference between Amos' time and our time, but regarding man's rebellion and his depravity of heart, there's no difference. Man hasn't changed. Man hasn't changed from the very beginning. The heart is the same. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're wicked people. And the message of Amos' time was repentance. And the message for tonight, for the 21st century, is still repentance. You see, God is not interested in your religious works or your ceremonies or your ideas of about your denomination you belong to or anything else. He's not interested in all that. He wants your heart. He wants your heart, dear sinner. And if you humble yourself and return unto the Lord, it will be well with your soul. But if you rebelliously refuse to bow down before God, you will perish in your sin without hope, without God. You see, one day we will all die. And death is no respecter of persons. Death will come for each and every one of us one day. And the question is, are you prepared for it? Are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been dealt with? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you repented of those sins? Have you bowed the knee to God? Confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? You see, after death, there are no second chances. We must take care of this important matter before we die. If you don't, your fate is set the moment you die. It'll be too late. Be too late to prepare then. You see, time is very, very important. You know, it was interesting. I was reading an article this week about a Paralympian from Malaysia. And he won a gold medal. I can't remember what discipline it was in, but he won the gold medal. He was presented with the gold medal. But he was 3 minutes late for the call. What happens is they're all in the dressing room and someone goes in and calls all the athletes out to their, I think he was a weightlifter, and they call them out to partake in their discipline. Well, he was three minutes late coming out, and some other country put in an objection because it's against the rules to be late. And that man who trained for 5 years to win a gold medal, they took his gold medal off him because he was 3 minutes late. 3 minutes late. See, you don't want to be too late, dear friend. If you're too late and die and are not prepared to meet God, well then, it's over. In regards, you will not have another chance. Your fate is set. It will be hell. Hell for eternity. Hell forever and ever. Oh, you might accomplish many things in this life that perhaps you've set goals to accomplish. You've prepared for, but those unaccomplished things will not affect you one bit in eternity. They'll all be forgotten. All those things you've prepared for in this life will all be forgotten if you've not done this one thing, prepared to meet God. Notice the sobering warning of Paul in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed on man once to die, and then what? After this, the judgment. You see, after death, our destiny shall be sealed. At death, we enter into that eternal world. Those who die in Christ will be joyful, will be happy, will be heaven's glory. And what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see, be in his presence forevermore. But those who die in sin, it won't be glory. It won't be joyous. It'd be misery. It'd be misery forever and ever, and there's no in between. It's just heaven and hell. And this is an appointment. We spoke this morning a little about waiting for appointments for the doctor or dentist, whatever. And this is an appointment that you will not be late. God has appointed a day. There's a day set in God's calendar, and your date is on it. The date when you leave this scene of time, is on that calendar, so to speak, and you will not miss that appointment. You'll not be late for it. You'll be there on time. Not only is it appointed for us to die, but God has also appointed the days in which we shall live. Job 14:5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. You won't live one second longer than God has determined. Are you ready to meet him? Have you made preparation to meet with God? Our days are numbered. We must be prepared when we die. All ages, all status, all mankind, all will die. And all will meet with God. Rich or poor, king or pauper, we will all meet with God. And if you want to take this a step further, God even knows the instrument of your death. He knows how you're going to die. He has even appointed how you will die. Psalm 7:13, he hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. God knows how you will die. Whether that is a sickness, whether that is a car accident, whether that is old age, whatever it is, God has appointed how you'll leave this scene of time. He knows the means of your death. He knows the day of your death. Oh, dear sinner, how you need to be prepared. You see, a person can be in the best of health and can be young and can die. We think of that young boy up in Kirkcubbon that was buried this week. Only 8 years age. 8 years old. Knocked down by a car. Swept out into eternity. 8 years old. Then a person can be old and very sick and continue to live a long life. There is that extreme, but the one thing is certain, we all die. Young or old, we all die. Our days are numbered, and God has set forth a boundary that you cannot pass that particular day that is appointed. And therefore, we see the importance of being prepared. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet God? We do that by repenting from sin. We prepare by turning from our sin and trusting in Christ and his finished work upon Calvary, the one who died in our guilty room instead. And you might ask, well, why do we die? Well, the Bible tells us that also, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into this world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we're sinners by nature. We're sinners by practice, and we deserve every ounce of the wrath of God upon us. And we will get what we deserve unless we are prepared to meet God. You see, for the child of God, the one who has repented of sin and trusted in Christ, the sting of death has been removed. We are prepared to meet God, and that will be a marvelous day, a joyful day. But those who are still unrepentant, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And you'll be cast forever into death and hell, an eternal punishment. Notice thirdly, the retribution that is envisaged. The retribution that is envisaged here. There are many examples in Scripture of those who are not prepared to meet God. Think of the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. Just turn there for a moment to Luke 12. In verse 13, we have this man coming to the master and asking him about dividing his inheritance with his brother. And we see this man's wrongful desire. He was coming to the master. He was thinking of greed and what he could gain through the death of another. And then in verse 15, the Lord talks about, take heed, beware of covetousness, and that the existence of man's life consists of not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. He's speaking about how that we are not to live for materialism, but rather we are to put the emphasis on our eternal life, making preparation for eternity. And you know, friends, so often in life we prepare in the financial sense, and it's good to be prepared in that sense. It's good to prepare to provide for a family and our home and all those things. But the Lord is saying here, those things, yes, they may be important, but they're not the most important. You see, your health can be shaken, your finances can be shaken, your family can be shaken, and Christ is saying all these things, yes, life does not consist in the abundance of things which we possess. And then he goes on in verse 16 to speak about this rich man. And this rich man who had a willful deception. The Lord takes us through this parable. This rich man, he said, what, in verse 17, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This man is full of self. Notice in those verses we read, the words I and my are used 11 times in those couple of verses. His only thoughts were about himself. What shall I do? He is boasting about his wealth and all that he had, and what would he do? No concern for his soul. And he's convinced. He's made preparation. And he would say he was well prepared. He is well prepared for his family. He is well prepared for years to come. And in the physical sense, in the earthly sense, he is well prepared. But spiritually speaking, this man was bankrupt. This man was a pauper. This man was a beggar, spiritually speaking. And he thought he had everything, but actually he had nothing. He had nothing. He wasn't prepared to meet God. So what was God's response to him? Verse 20. He said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Oh, this man thought he was well prepared. He was convinced. He was utterly convinced that he could live a life without God. That he was prepared. That he had all that he needed. His barn was full, but sadly his soul was empty. And he had no clue that his soul would be required of him before God. He was not prepared to meet God. He thought he was treasuring up wealth, and rather he was treasuring up the wrath of God against his soul. Romans 2 and 4. Or despises thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And this man, rather than building up wealth, he was rather building up wrath. He was building up wrath on of each and every sin accruing daily, and treasuring up the holy wrath of God. The deceased sinner hums and sings within himself, take ease, drink, and be merry. Is that your mindset tonight? I'll take ease, I'll drink, I'll be merry. I have all I need in this life. I don't need God. Oh yes, I like to come to church. I like to tag on religion to my list of my life. But no, I don't need God. I don't need Christ as my Savior. I have enough. I have made my preparation. I have all laid out. I have all I need. Is that your thought tonight, dear sinner? Is that your mindset? God says, thou fool. You're a fool. You're a fool tonight. Because one day your soul will be required of thee. And then what good will your wealth be? What good will your earthly possessions be then? For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? You see, your soul is the most valuable thing that you have tonight. The most valuable thing. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet God? Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. His text was based on Deuteronomy 32 and 35. To me belong of vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them, make haste. Your day of calamity will come one day. God will remove his restraining hand upon your life, and he will let you go, and then it'll be too late. What was God's response to this man in Luke 12? Thou fool, thou fool. And you will be foolish, dear friend, if you leave this life unprepared. You will die a fool, and you'll remain a fool forever in God's eternal hell. Oh, don't be foolish tonight. That will be the end of every sinner who does not repent of their sin and flee to Christ. They'll be lost for eternity. They shall suffer the righteous vengeance of a holy and righteous God. Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You see, it'll be too late, my friend. Oh, how many are not prepared to meet God tonight. How many in this world have no clue that the next step they take might plunge them into the depths of hell itself. Not one of us are assured of getting home tonight. Not one of us are assured of getting home. The Bible tells us we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. None of us know. None of us know what tomorrow brings. Are you prepared to meet God? The psalmist tells us, Psalm 73:18, how unexpectedly many will plunge into the fires of hell because they're not prepared to meet God. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How they are brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Just like that. Out into God's eternity. You won't have time to prepare then. Oh, sinner, are you prepared to meet God tonight? There are many examples in the Bible of those who were not prepared to meet God. Think of the rich man in Luke 16. Think of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne and boasted and declared, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Is that your thought tonight? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? God drowned him in the Red Sea with his whole army. What about the millions of Noah's day who were not prepared to meet God? Hell opened its mouth wide and swallowed up millions of unprepared souls. What about King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel? What about Korah, who was swallowed up alive into the pit of hell itself? But again, I ask you, are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet God? Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Again, God is saying to those obstinate, rebellious sinners, just like sinners all around us tonight, just like maybe sinners in this meeting, prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Notice one final thing, the reconciliation that is to be enjoyed. The reconciliation that is to be enjoyed. You know, we read many examples in Scripture of those who were prepared to meet God. We think of Paul. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Paul was prepared. And Paul is saying here, he's come to the end of his life. He looks back over his life and he's lived his life for the Lord, and he says, "My time of departure is at hand." Paul knows he's standing and by and he's waiting for God to take him home. The clouds of death had come and were hovering over Paul, and he is well aware his departure was at hand. He speaks about fighting a good fight and finishing his course. He expresses his hope of that crown of righteousness that will be waiting for him as he enters heaven's glory. Paul was prepared to meet God. It wasn't always the case. We know how he was Saul of Tarsus, and how that on that Damascus road he had that experience with the living and risen Christ, and how now he's reconciled to God, and now he's prepared to meet his God. Read about Jacob in Hebrews 11:21. "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of a staff." Jacob died as he worshipped his God. He died, and we read in Genesis 49:33, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people." Jacob was very much prepared to meet his God. Many more examples in Scripture of those that were prepared to meet God. Let me ask again, how about you? Are you prepared? If you were to die this very night, if you were to die even before you reached home, do you have assurance? Do you have assurance, as Paul had, of that great hope? Is there a crown of righteousness awaiting you in glory? Or will you spend eternity and everlasting punishment in hell. What shall we say about Abraham, Moses, David, other saints of God who spoke of clarity about being prepared to meet God? George Whitefield, the famous preacher, said on his deathbed, I go to my everlasting rest. My sun has risen, shone and is setting now. It is about to rise and shine forever. I have not lived in vain, and though I could live to preach Christ 1,000 years, I die to be with him, which is far better. He is prepared to meet God. American missionary to Burma, Adoniram Judson, said, before he died, I am not tired of my work, neither am I tired of this world. Yet when Christ calls me home, I shall go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school, for there is no doubt resting on my future. He is prepared. He is prepared to go and to meet his God. Oh, sinner, what does God have to do to get your attention? What a sobering wake-up call this verse is for the sinner. Oh, to God that he would wake you out of the slumber of your sleep and that you would be prepared to meet with him. I urge you to quit fighting with God tonight. Throw down those arms of rebellion. Come and fall at his feet. You see, everyone in this church will die. That's one thing I'm certain of tonight. I can say that of all certainty. Everyone in this meeting will die. We all will die one day. Death will come knocking on your door. The angel of death will come for you. The question is, are you prepared to meet God? Oh, don't wait until you die, because then it will be too late and you'll not be prepared to meet God. And the only thing that will await you is that awful holy wrath of a holy and righteous God. I urge you this evening to come to Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no clearer text than that. Can't put it any more simple than that. The only way to God and to God's heaven is through Christ. Through Christ alone. It's not through works, not through church attendance, not through our self-righteousness. It's only through Christ. Will you come to him tonight? Will you prepare to meet God? Will you repent of your sin? Will you trust in the Savior? Let me end with the words of another who was prepared to meet the Lord when death came. King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, could say in Psalm 17 and 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What about you? What will you say at death? Will you be in terror, unprepared, or will joy flood your soul as you sing out in your heart saying, as for me, I behold thy face in righteousness. Can you say that tonight? Will you gaze upon the Savior in death? Or will you be cast into hell? David said in 1 Samuel 27 and 1, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day. One day we shall all die. One day our allotted time shall be gone. One day we shall all stand before God. What will that day hold for you, dear friend? Are you prepared for your meeting with God? If not, don't be foolish tonight, but rather be wise and make your preparation this very night. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I trust tonight everyone in this meeting is prepared, and if you're not, that you'll make preparation even before you leave your very seat, before you lay your head on the pillow tonight, you'll make preparation to meet your God. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight.